Indeed it does, and we thank you so much for being with us. Busy first hour there. Haven't even gotten a chance to get into the San Francisco 49ers.
Jimmy G show.
Hey, showtime. Pay that man. Are you all in or no?
Yeah.
You all in?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We need to see something. We finally saw something.
27 mil? 26? 25-ish?
We don't have to get carried away, but.
That's going to be market value, I think.
All right.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig.
3-0 is a starter.
If you can get it. Yes, indeed. Threw his first interception yesterday. We'll talk about the 49ers here. I don't know what there is to say about him. I think we just said it. That was it, right? Like, he led them down the field very late. Robbie gets the dub.
Yeah, he had all 5 field goals. They left some points out there. So, yes, he won. He moved the ball. It looks good. I think he will be fine. They still have plenty of issues, though. But good win. Take it.
Absolutely.
They played the right team to beat them. They only get 5 field goals. Yeah. They played the right team.
Yeah. Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo out. The NFL world is reacting as if that's news. If you were with us on Friday, Jason and I both said he'll be fired after the Raider game.
Yeah, we weren't sure about Reese.
Yeah. I don't even think we talked about Reese, so that's a bit not fair. But neither one of us saw Ben McAdoo getting out of this, and I think that's dumb. I'm fine that he's fired. I'm totally fine with that. They should have fired him the day he benched Eli Manning, because that's what this boils down to. And John Mara gave a press conference earlier, the owner of the New York Giants, and said that this does not have to do with the Eli benching. We know that that's nonsense. But I will tell you this. John Mara says he wished that this should have been handled differently, I think were his words. The very next day, your boy, Ben McAdoo, sits in a press conference saying, oh, we were all on the same page. And the reporters are sitting there, yeah, but John Mara said, yeah, we were all on the same page. Yeah, Ben, but the owner of the team said, yeah, we were all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So just to be clear, you can suspend 2 of your defensive stars. You can throw your quarterback under the bus. You can eventually bench your beloved quarterback,
who, according to reports, will start this week.
You cannot throw the owner under the bus.
Right.
And that's what he did by standing up there and saying, we were all on the same page.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially saying, no, John Mora, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't lost for John Mora. John even said that today. Yeah, it was a lot more emotional with Jerry. Meaning, yeah, I fired Ben's ass, but Jerry, gosh, that was tough. Yeah. He's been here 11 years. We've won 2 Super Bowls. That's all we've done is won 2 Super Bowls, because when we're good, we win championships.
Yeah.
But when we're bad, we don't even bother playing in the postseason.
Owners always have the last word. Always.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Confirmed. Yeah, and I don't want to gloss over the point that you just made. Eli Manning is supposed to start this week.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Geno Smith wasn't embarrassing.
No, he wasn't great, but he wasn't why they didn't win. He was actually fine. I mean, he was fine.
Perfect word. He was fine.
Yeah.
He was there. He wasn't pleased with
mm-hmm.
He was Rex? Not pleased. Yeah, Rex Ryan had said on NFL Countdown earlier in the day, I love Geno Smith. Geno Smith's a great guy. I just wouldn't want Geno Smith to be my quarterback. Geno responded.
I did see one of my ex-coaches say he didn't want me to be his quarterback, and that really upset me. You know, the guy that we saved his job 2013, you know, we fought our ass off for him both years, and for him to come out and say that just shows you how much of a coward he is.
What coach are you talking about?
Rex Ryan.
I love that. God bless the reporter.
Come on, we know who you're talking about.
But God bless the reporter for having the guts to ask that question, because there's no guesswork now.
Yeah.
Geno takes a veiled shot.
He was one of the coordinators.
Yeah, he takes a veiled shot at Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
No.
It was clear.
It was Rex Ryan.
Yeah. Confirmed.
I have a problem with what Rex Ryan said. Yeah. And I love Geno's initial reports. Like, I'm not even going to give that dude the dignity of saying his name. And then the reporter asked. I actually thought that whole thing was funny.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Rex is very good on television. And which is, I guess if you watched a season of Jets and Hard Knocks, you're probably a little bit surprised by
that.
But when you look at, you know, Woodson and Moss, he doesn't add anything to the program. And I don't get to see it very often. I've probably watched it, you know, what are we in week 4? I've probably watched it 3 times. And every time I watch it, it's like, gosh, Rex is awful. And I've texted with people who work there like, yeah, this show sucks. This show is absolutely awful. But Woodson is incredibly good at his job, and he's great on Monday night, as is Randy Moss, which are...
I see them more on the Monday night coverage than they do on Sunday.
Right, right.
Sunday morning.
And it's that the Monday night show significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's led better, better host. Rex Ryan's not a part of it.
Yeah.
But when Rex Ryan cut, you feel you keep thinking he's going to give you something, and he doesn't. So I think he just took the opportunity to, it's easy to jump on Geno Smith. I'm going to jump on Geno Smith. Whereas he wasn't that bad yesterday. And Raider fans, I'd be more concerned that they were in that game.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants were very much in that game for a long, really the whole thing.
Which is the one thing I remember saying on Friday, is just as a cautionary tale. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Raiders should win. And the other part is Marshawn was great. Marshawn ran well. But having your top two receivers out worried me a little bit. And the Raiders haven't, it's not like they've been thriving up to last week. So I just thought it could be almost exactly the way it was, a dangerously close game. But at the end, they won, so they don't have to worry about it.
Beast Mode is back, by the way. How about that run by him?
Raiders go into an eye Alawale ahead of Marshawn Lynch, first and 10. Led in the chin strap of the logo at midfield off the right side. Big hole, Lynch is gone! 30, 20, 10, 5, Beast Mode, touchdown!
All right.
Raiders, 51 yards.
I just know there were so many Raider fans in their car getting ready to do it.
Yep.
Wait for me. I'm going to do that all the time now because it just amuses me. I find it funny. But good win for, a win is a win.
Yeah.
And they're 6-6. The Chargers are 6-6. The Chiefs are 6-6. And of those three teams, one of them is going in the opposite direction of the other two.
Yep.
I would say... I think comfortably the Chargers are above all three of them. And then I'd go Raiders, and then I'd go Chiefs. I think right now the most complete team in the AFC West is the Chargers. And the most dangerous team in the playoffs right now is the Chargers.
Ooh, in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Most dangerous?
Yeah. Of those three teams?
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought you meant overall.
Yeah,
I agree with what you're saying.
The Chargers, when you look at what they have defensively – and what they have offensively, I'm going to use your word, Phillip Rivers, best quarterback in the division.
I agree.
And he's not hurt. Regardless of Derek Carr's injury report status, he hurt his back earlier this year. There's no chance he's not dealing with that 6 days a week.
Right.
Phillip Rivers, the best quarterback in the running back, his toys.
Yeah.
He's got
Keenan Allen's been great.
Yeah, Keenan Allen, three straight games, 10-plus catches. 100-plus yards.
Yeah.
Last three games.
They found their groove. Their front four is good. They weren't amazing against the Browns yesterday, but again, kind of like the Raiders, it doesn't matter because maybe the Chiefs had bigger splashes of highlights and plays. They lost. So the Chargers and Raiders survived. Chargers get – who is it? Oh, it's Washington this week while the Raiders and Chiefs play each other. So Chargers – are, I don't even know what they're hoping for in that Raiders-Chiefs game, but the Raiders game is big in for a couple of cents. If they win in Kansas City, not only do you push Kansas City back even further, you'll have the season series over them. So if Raiders are on the lowest part of the tiebreaker at the moment. For some weird, fifth factor in the tiebreaker, they are the third team at the moment. It'll clean itself up a little bit this week, at least you think. And then the Raiders still play the Chargers, too. So Raiders play both teams. They already lost to the Chargers. That last one is the final game of the year in Los Angeles. So, but those two games, these last 2 weeks, the Raiders had to have when they beat up on the Broncos last week and they beat the Giants this week. Because from here on out, there's some tough games ahead for the Raiders.
You tripping, Damian. Rex is hella funny on that show. I haven't seen it. I just don't think he's funny. Chargers barely beat the Raiders. I think the Raiders get them back week 17, and I hope it's for the division. It very well may be. Another text here at 44-11-40. The Chargers are going to go Chargers soon. They blow it at the end of the season. I don't know what Charger team you're talking about. This Charger team, or the Chargers, historically, relatively get, or usually get hot in December.
Yeah, I just think maybe they think of the blowing games, not necessarily, the
way
they lose.
I think they got that out of their system.
We'll see.
They got that out of their system for like a season and a half. They haven't blown any recently.
Yeah.
They were 0-4. And here they are.
6-2 cents.
Right in the conversation for the division. You want to do best and worst first? I hit my worst already. I have nothing else to say on it. Gronk's dirty play, I thought it was just ridiculous, and it's even more frustrating that the NFL decided that only warranted a one-game suspension. A number of people on the text line have brought up A.J. Green, how he didn't get suspended at all for a chokehold / takedown. I just don't see these two as the same things, and I'm sorry. I hear your argument. I promise I do, but I do not see it as the same thing at all.
Do you remember, and I'm sure a texter will if you don't, it was Pac-Man Jones kind of slammed Amari Cooper down, his head down.
He did not.
He didn't get a game?
He did not.
You certain?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not get a game for that.
Okay.
I feel like I just saw that from Chris McClain. The reason I'm so adamant is because I feel like Chris McClain just tweeted something about that a second ago.
Play I remember that. Do you compare what infractions are? But that one felt like it was after the play, little excessive. That's something that seemed.
NFL also never suspended Pac-Man Jones for forcibly slamming Amari Cooper's head into the ground.
Maybe that's
times.
What it was. But still, fine, suspension, those are big differences.
The disciplinary committee within the NFL is so laughable.
Yeah.
It's an absolute joke, whether it's the suspensions that are handed down. Like, two games last week, even thinking you were going to suspend them. Suspending Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib for two games just because we all know it's going to get reduced down to two. Like, can you imagine if that's how sentencing worked in the criminal? I know the criminal justice system is screwed up, but can you imagine if that was how sentencing worked? Like, you're going to jail for 10 years. Ah, wait a minute. Wait. I'm going to appeal. All right. Drop your appeal. We'll make it 5.
Right.
Okay. I'll go to jail for 5 years. What? No other organization runs like the NFL does. And that's not a good thing.
No, exactly.
Your best and worst.
I'm going to give you my, because you did your worst, right? So I'm going to give my worst as well. And mine was the U. Ooh. Miami, here's your chance. I mean, a lot of people, they moved you down, but we kind of thought you win. Yeah, you'll represent the ACC. Did you realize it was the championship game? Miami?
I don't think they did. They're still waiting for it to start.
I mean, they
forgot their turnover chain.
Man, were they just not into the game? No fire, no life. And I know some people say, hey, maybe they're a year. This was kind of a year ahead of things. Great, but you have an opportunity. There's no promises to anybody out there. And I just thought their performance, that game, I mean, I didn't think Wisconsin would have a chance to win. They did. So they had a chance to win their game against Ohio State. Watching Miami and Clemson on the same night was like, okay, this is over. There's no comeback. There's no life. Miami, to me, was one of the worst of the weekend.
Best?
Best? I'm actually going back to, I think this was Friday night, and this is something I'm actually projecting and I'm hoping happens to the Kings, but you know what's been great is a rookie, Donovan Mitchell from the Jazz, and he lit up the Pelicans for 41 points. Mm-hmm. They've got guys out, and so those are the kind of nights you hope someone can have on the Kings. Here's this rookie that let me look at his box score here. 41 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 13 of 25, hit 6 threes, made 9 free throws, and a home win. I love when individuals can have nights like that kind of come out of nowhere, and he's been a nice young player so far as a rookie in a good rookie class, but he's really starting to shine, and to have a night like that for him I thought was really, really cool.
I should mention Kings won. They got they got a split over the weekend.
Right.
One lost one. We'll talk about that in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk a little bit of Kings basketball. They don't play again until Wednesday. Now, if I remember correctly, they're here.
Yeah, home.
They came back home
Saturday night.
And then they're going to fly out to Cleveland, I assume, tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. Now, we're all going to be big Cleveland Cavalier fans tonight.
Absolutely, we are.
We will explain to you why. Before we get out of here, if you've been following the show for the last week or so, you know exactly why the Cavs' win streak has been extended, which means the Lowdown Linear Championship is being defended tonight against the Chicago Bulls.
It could be in play on Wednesday.
It could be in play. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk more NBA at 2 o'clock. Actually, we'll talk about the Sacramento Kings here in about 15 minutes. Tiger Woods finished 8-under. We were monitoring him pretty closely. Had a really good round one. Had a really good round two. Correct me if I'm wrong. His Masters odds after round one, they started before he...
66?
66-1. Then they went 33-1.
Yep.
And then after round two, Friday, before we got out of here, They were at 15-1.
Correct.
I'm not sure what they are now. He had a little bit rougher
bad Saturday.
Of a weekend.
Yeah.
But he finished 8-under, played all four rounds, which is what we wanted.
Yeah, which is funny because he is in the exact same spot as he was a year ago. Remember, he played this tournament, and the thought was, okay, what's his schedule going to look like? But he wasn't 100% healthy. Now, by all accounts, everybody's saying he's healthy. So he's already talking about his schedule. His schedule isn't been confirmed, but it's looking like he's going to go to the places that he's done well. He's planning to play the majors. That, to me, is all encouraging. Now, how will he play? I don't know yet, but I think this last weekend was good, and the health part is obviously the most important part because I think people look at it as he hasn't been good, and he hasn't, but I think so much of it was his health. So if he's healthy, now we'll see how good he can be amongst the other great elite players.
A couple of texts here. Jay Ross at 44, 1140. I don't think what Gronk did was a dirty move. Signed, Ndamukong Suh.
Okay, I was going to say.
Pac-Man is so dirty, he hit Cooper's head into his own helmet. Still pisses me off. That's from a Raider fan. Worst of the weekend, Eagles coaching staff that didn't see that forward pass and challenge it. That was close. That was really, 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 really close.
Worth a challenge, though, right?
Probably at that point in the game, yes. It was probably worth the challenge from, and I don't know that I put the blame on Doug Peterson, but I'll put the blame on who's ever up in that booth watching those replays over and over again and didn't say, hey, coach, it's going to be a tough one to overturn, but that was a big play. You might as well throw it.
Yeah.
See what happens here. I've noticed NFL officials have started to err on the side of caution on the goal line, and they'll call touchdown just so it can automatically be reviewed. And then that way, if it's not, no big deal.
Right.
And if it is, it's a touchdown. I've noticed that they've called some borderline plays. They tend to err more in, okay, it's a touchdown, but we'll go back and we'll look at it.
Yeah.
There was a couple that I saw yesterday that were like, gosh, oh, really? That's...
Well, I thought the decider basically in the Raider one where Holton caught it, and I'm like, oh, he didn't score. And then you see, oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, to call it fast, you know, but they were right.
College football playoff rankings came out on Sunday. Clemson won. Oklahoma won. Georgia beat Auburn rather handily, actually.
Yeah, they played great.
And Alabama gets your fourth spot. They'll play Clemson in a rematch of the last two national championship games. Ohio State went on to beat Wisconsin. I was feeling awfully good about my blowout prediction in the first half. I had no idea Ohio State was only going to score 3 points in the second half of the game. They almost lost it, but they did beat Wisconsin. USC, much to the chagrin of my beloved partner here, to my left, went on to win the Pac-12 conference championship, by the way, another two-loss conference champion. And Bama, who did not play this weekend, lost one game all year to a now three-loss Auburn team. Gets that four spot.
Yep.
What do you think? Because we're only talking about Bama. We're not talking about the other three, right?
I would have done it the way they did it, but I understand 100% the argument. And the problem to me is there isn't a criteria. And we've seen everything now. Like where you say you have to win your conference. Do you? Or you have to play in your conference championship. Do you? You can't have more than one loss. Really? Is that? I mean, there hasn't been. I don't think they can set a criteria because they want it to be this open and this vague, and they are trying to put what they think are the four best teams. And I think when they did this, honestly, we're looking at this last week. They did this, let's just backtrack 2 weeks ago, when Alabama, without a doubt, was the number one team. They were ranked number one before Auburn. They were number one. At that time, Ohio State was 9. So that's what they thought of the difference of the two. Alabama lost. They dropped to 5. Ohio State was 8. They didn't think highly enough of them. I think they could have, where to me, if Ohio State was 6 or 7 or Alabama was 6 or 7 and this whole weekend played out as it is, I think maybe Ohio State's in. But the fact that it was 5 and 8, yes, Ohio State did win their conference. I think it's the second loss that hurts them. But I could understand why every coach would think of mixed messages because Ohio State had the courage to schedule Oklahoma. What if their game now was Toledo? And they won. And they have a one-loss team. They're in. Mm-hmm. Even losing by 35 to Iowa. They're in. Now, Alabama had courage to schedule Florida State. They're now getting – well, they didn't beat anybody at the time. It was the game of the year, in quotes, They can't fault Florida State for playing so poorly. It's just there isn't a consistent way to measure this, and it all becomes opinion. I think that's how I would have picked it, how they did it. But if you're going to tell me Ohio State should be in, I can't even argue it.
Here's a number. There's a number of things to touch on here. When it comes to the four best teams, I watched a lot of Ohio State games. I watched their wins. I've watched their losses. I watched them play Saturday. I didn't pick them to blow out Wisconsin because I think Ohio State is great. I picked them to blow out Wisconsin because I think Wisconsin is bad.
Right.
Or, you know,
yeah,
relatively speaking. And the fact, by the way, that they in I know this poll doesn't matter. The four matter. Wisconsin was six. They put Ohio State in this and then Wisconsin at 5 and 6. Really?
Yeah.
You hated Wisconsin all year, and now you're putting them one notch behind Ohio State after that loss? I thought that was silly. But the bottom line is, when it comes to Ohio State, they aren't one of the four best teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's even close. What I am curious about is, I know I've referenced this before, it wasn't the first year of the playoff because Ohio State won that. So it must have been the second year when Christian McCaffrey was playing for Stanford. And Stanford played, and Ohio State played. And I told you, I thought, man, I don't know that we didn't see the two best teams in the country mm-hmm. not playing. You know, they didn't get to play in the playoff, but I think it was those guys. There's a good chance we're going to watch. You know, we may come away on January 2nd after watching USC and Ohio State play, which I think is an awesome consolation prize.
Absolutely.
As J. Ross, I think we might have seen at least one of, you know, like we might have seen two of the best teams in the country play yesterday.
And the other part I would say about, for Alabama, that's the debatable team, right? Therefore, if they win in the first game or if they lose the first game, I can already see they're validated, or they got it wrong. That doesn't – it's a one game. It doesn't validate. If they beat Clemson by 30, doesn't mean they should have been there. If they lose by 30, doesn't mean they shouldn't have been there. It's just they've been placed there.
I disagree, sort of. I think if they lose, there's going to be a strong sentiment that they blew it.
Oh, of course there will
be. Because I've said this a million times, and I'll say it until the end of time or until they change this, whichever comes first. They got bailed out by Ohio State winning the national championship the first year of the college. Because remember, Ohio State was the debatable team.
Right.
That was the conference championship. Hey, Big 12, we're really sorry. You guys need to schedule a conference championship game. Like, this co-champion stuff, guys, Ohio State just blew out Wisconsin in their championship game 59-0. Like, guys, you got to schedule it.
Yeah.
So Ohio State was that fringe team that got in, and they won. And it's like, see, guys, we know what we're doing in here. And now if Alabama goes out there and gets blown out by Clemson. Now, granted, I can see why.
They're already favored, aren't they?
Right. And I could see why you'd want to stay away from Clemson, Ohio State, given the last time we saw that on the football field.
Yeah.
But it's tough. They'd be best served for Bama to at least win the first game.
Yeah. Well, what's great.
Can you imagine Bama, Georgia, by the way?
Final?
In the national championship game.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, and there's so many SEC haters out there.
Oh,
they're
of course.
They're going to be livid.
Well, what's great about it is, I know we all want 8 or more, but if you have 8 right now, the way it's ranked 1 through 8, I know they would pick it differently.
Yeah.
It'd be really good because I think your 1-8 is like Georgia, or excuse me, USC, Clemson.
Yeah.
Your 4-5 is Alabama, Ohio State. I mean, that would be kind of fun.
They'd probably. I like the idea, the 5 power conferences, 3 at large, to use March Madness bracketing terms.
Yeah.
But I also feel like those were playoff games that were played this weekend. Those rivalry games, those were playoff games that were played this past weekend.
Alabama, you know which one wasn't, though?
Alabama-Auburn?
USC-Stanford?
No, that's
it would have been.
It would have.
Like, nobody really. I mean, I cared as Pac-12, but winner, you're what, 6th, 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Winner would have been in the postseason for sure.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll shift gears. We'll talk about your Sacramento Kings. Played 2 games since we last talked to you. Any takeaways from it? What's next?
This is Chris Verlot with your top stories on Sports 1140. New York Giants have fired head coach Ben McAdoo and general manager Jerry Reese after yesterday's loss to the Oakland Raiders. Giants defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo will take over as the interim head coach. The NFL has suspended New England tight end Rob Gronkowski 1 game for his late hit on Bills quarterback Tre'Davious White on Sunday. And tonight, week 13 of the NFL comes to an end with Monday Night Football, where the Pittsburgh Steelers go to the Cincinnati Bengals. You can listen to tonight's game with pregame at 5 and kickoff schedule for 5:30 right here on Sports 1140.
Tickets to see WWE Live, the road to WrestleMania. The Golden One Center, February 10th. We have those coming up for you in less than 30 minutes, right at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We will have that for you. Lots of spirited conversation here on the text line at 44-11-40. Oklahoma wasn't OSU's problem. The Iowa loss was. Yep, no question about that. Ohio State should not have played Oklahoma. Should have played Sac State. Then they'd be in. I don't know.
Stingers up. Watch
out.
Yeah,
all the way up. Coach Jody Shares could have had them ready to go.
Yeah. They'd have to – Ohio State would have to come in.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they'd have to come to
Sac
State.
Where would that game be played? Because not
– in Columbus.
Yeah. I was going to say, that game's not going to – that game's not going to work here. We'll need a
–
Sac State
boat.
Plays Ohio State in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
About that. Kings played a couple of times over the weekend, got a win against the Chicago Bulls, but man, they made it interesting. They got a win against the Chicago Bulls on Friday. And of course, because the NBA has, lengthened the season, reduced back-to-backs, they played on Saturday. It's another back-to-back for your Sacramento Kings, where they, got a rematch, a chance to get payback, as Garrett Temple told us last week, against the Milwaukee Bucks. That didn't go well.
No, that game was the funniest start. Coach tried a different starting five, so two different starters.
And that was Garrett, Willie, Costa, George Hill, and De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm.
So Willie and Costa were the new look against Milwaukee, who they, you know, didn't play very well at all earlier in the week. And that group was throwing the ball all over the gym. They were down, what, 14-0, 16-2. Coach is trying to get he's trying to get run out of there.
Yeah. Coach, I don't want any part of this.
He took all five out. That's it. Saw 3 minutes and took – it was like an old high school or college trick. You get him out, get him the hook, and then the bench brought him back. So the second time this year, the bench has scored the first 29 points of the game. That is so weird. That was an NBA record they set against OKC, and they matched it that game against Milwaukee. That's not good.
And, of course, Sampson played 25 minutes. Yeah. Had he been on the floor at all this year?
No. Once Willie tweaked his back, then he came in, and he was actually the guy that guarded Giannis, and he did okay.
Willie played 8 minutes. Costa Kufis played 8 minutes. Scalabissiere played 4 minutes. We had a 33-minute sighting. Zach Randolph, 33 minutes. Garrett Temple, 32. What in the playing time is going on with Dave Yeager?
And Zebo, I think, was 29 or so, or 30 was against Chicago.
The night before, yeah.
Yeah, but he's been really good.
He has.
He's been by far the most consistent King over the last 10 games
Just
or so.
Just like we all predicted. Plus 16, by the way, in the plus-minus category for Zach Randolph. Meanwhile, Costa Kufis in his 8 minutes was minus 19.
Oops. Yeah, weird game again. Buddy didn't score Friday night, then scores a bunch on Saturday. Zebo scores both days. I just like that they came back on Saturday. I never felt like they were going to win, but they got in a position to win, and then they just had to beat Chicago, find a way. So mixed results, but again, you know, they're basically in the same spot they've been the last 3 or 4 years about this record at this time of year. And a difficult week ahead with Cleveland, New Orleans, and then back home for Toronto on Sunday.
The Bucks shot 42 free throws. To put that, I'm just saying that to put in context that the Sacramento Kings shot 21. If you recall, Ben Simmons shot 28 a couple of days ago. If you recall, Ben Simmons shot 25 in a freaking quarter. Now, I understand that they were playing a pack-up band or whatever, but the good news, for the first time all year, they actually shot free throws well in that game. They were 19 of 21.
How many did Giannis shoot?
Giannis shot 22. He was 17 of 22 from the foul line.
He got a ton of whistles.
So, to be clear, it was Giannis, 22, Sacramento, 21.
Yeah. That's what it felt like. It felt like that exactly. Just kept fouling him, turning the ball over early, got back in the game, just couldn't quite close the deal.
Well, they were in it late, man, but, I mean, the final was 109-104. This was several days ago. It's... There was a lot of grading on a curve on the television broadcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know what G-Man was saying, but on the television broadcast, there was a whole lot of, boy, these guys got to be proud of what they did, or they should be happy with this, or they should be happy with that. And I didn't get that takeaway. Mm-hmm. Like I it felt like more of the same, just a different end, right? They made a run after the big deficit at the beginning of the game. I actually love the high school play,
yeah,
or the college play.
Yeah, yeah.
I love. You know what?
I did too.
Because
it's not working.
But okay, sorry. I should. Let's break this down into different segments. There's so much to cover with the Kings sometimes, and so many questions. I don't know where to start. Let's start with this one before praising that play. Well, I'll just say I love that. You guys aren't getting the job done. Get out.
Yeah.
But my question: why the hell were they starting? Why did you change the starting lineup?
The only thing I could
not
think
you
of,
personally, yeah, but why did Dave
was the group lineup against Milwaukee? It just the coach kept talking about their length and how much it bothered them. So my thought was, and Scal started the last game on Giannis, so he's been playing Willie and Costa together a lot. So I think he wanted Willie on Giannis, and he probably decided to play Costa as well, because Ibo played all those minutes on Friday. But then, as it turned out, they played 3 minutes and 10 seconds, and they all got the hook. That's my best guess.
Yeah. So you had to fall in a giant deficit. I understand. Is Dave – I think there's a thing as outthinking the room. What's your best lineup? What are your best players? Who's played best for you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been Zach or Garrett or this combination of people. Great. Put them out there and let them play. The only thing we said is what didn't work last time? Scal guarding Giannis? Okay, don't do that again.
Yeah.
Who's your best defender? Again, I think it's outthinking the room. Who's the best defender? Garrett Temple. Who's the best player on the Bucks? Giannis Antetokounmpo. Great. Garrett, you're guarding the Greek Freak. Sorry, bro. It's going to be a long night.
Garrett would take the challenge. He's given up a lot of height.
We
but
know Garrett would take the, yeah, challenge because he said as much. Yep. He said he wanted to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not a coach. Never been a coach. Don't get paid to be a coach. I just wonder when you see little things like this, are you thinking too hard? Like, I understand you've got to find a lineup. I understand you're still essentially auditioning a whole bunch of players.
Yeah.
But you've had a lineup. I mean, you have a lineup that you run with for quite a bit. Well, okay, go with it. Now you got Tweetgate with George Hill tweeting angry faces, and Sacramento Kings fans are left to decipher.
What does that mean?
What does this mean? Is he mad that he only played 18 minutes? Is he mad that they lost? Is he mad with his role? Did he have a fight with Dave Yeager? What's going on? What do these angry faces mean?
I don't know.
Don't hit send, man.
Yeah.
Don't hit send after a loss. Because everything you write pertaining to, if you write emojis or if you post emojis or anything you write, is going to be dissected, because we're in the sub-tweeting era of sports. Thank you, LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And, what is it? What's George Hill mad about? Does he want to be traded? What does this mean? Dum, dum, dum.
Read into it, and everybody did.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And they still are, because they can't get back on the court now until Wednesday, when they play the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk more about that in just about an hour. If you missed the UCLA story, UCLA has gotten the balls.
Hey.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
We'll explain. And the Lakers, well, they got one ball that they like. They want to get rid of the other one. Huh? We'll explain all of that next. So despite Tiger Woods' rough Saturday finish, he sits right now at 15-1 odds for the Masters. One tournament. That's all it took.
Yep.
Tiger is back.
Yeah. Healthy.
Boy, if you placed a bet on Wednesday.
Feeling good about that. Or at least,
well,
if you want to win
I
money.
I mean, in terms of making money.
Yeah, that's the one. It's, you know, now you could still bet on him, but just it's not the financial windfall you'd hope for.
Apparently, I'm too hypercritical of the Sacramento Kings. The coach has no consistency with anyone he puts in the starting lineup. The whole team does better coming off the bench. Well, there's a problem with that.
Yeah, it's the truth, but there is a problem.
You've got to start five guys. Every starting lineup he put out there this season has been terrible. That's fine. That's from the text line at 44-1140. And, yes, I am hypercritical. Your expectations are out of whack, D'Lo. That's from Craig and Sack. I don't have any expectations for him. I just want them to go out there and compete. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just asking questions. It's all I do. When it comes to the Sacramento Kings, I have questions.
Yeah. Well, that's I felt all, they that's competed. All my question I do. Was. I felt they competed against Milwaukee. Now they have a terrible drought to overcome, but I felt they did compete.
And that's where the more of the same narrative that I said changes, because we've seen them go down 14-15-0 or whatever the case may be, or get down 20 points in the first quarter. And those games generally wind up in 30-point deficits at when the final buzzer goes off. The fact that they were able to get back in this game and actually have an opportunity to – I don't know that they were ever threatening to win, but I think they had, Jason Kidd and that crew there pretty nervous.
Sure.
In the fourth quarter. It's good, but I'm not going to constitute that as a moral victory. What I would have liked to have seen is for that 16-17-point deficit the first 3 minutes of the game not be there. And then let's see – then we see you compete. We saw them compete great for 44 minutes. Okay. Give me the other four. Like, right. Why? I don't, and that's a great text. I love it. It's unintentionally hilarious. This whole team is better coming off the bench. All right. Well, there's problem one. There's got to be a starter.
Amongst many.
Yeah. You got to have five guys who can start the game for you. And if that means Dave Joerger has to pull all five of them out 3 minutes in, so be it. Mm-hmm. Play better. Simple as that, right?
Yeah.
The Ravens cornerback's having a really bad day. We want to touch on that. We mentioned UCLA has no balls. I have to explain that because it just sounds absurd. Ahmad, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good to hear from you.
Good. I just wanted to talk about the team. I feel like people are forgetting that the season's more for player development and just going out there and trying to compete at a high level instead of trying to win games, obviously.
Do you think that you're seeing Ahmad, do you think you're seeing either one of those things? Do you think you're seeing player development or playing at a high level?
I think possibly a lot of people think they may not be – like, sometimes if they go down early, let's say they get down by, like, 20, it doesn't mean they're not competing. I just feel like other teams are just executing what they do a lot better. Like, I don't think we can – Frank Mason's out there diving on every single play. Doesn't mean the score is going to change much, right? That's not a big issue. To me, I feel like it's just so inconsistent because the team just hasn't been able to gel well together. There hasn't had enough time to gel well together. There hasn't been a lot of practices. They've only really had one training camp with the amount of new guys that are on the team. Well, it's basically just a bunch of college players and a couple of vets. That's about it.
Okay. All right, Ahmad, we appreciate you, man, as always. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the call, my man. Let's grab one more Jay Ross here. Jeremy, thanks for the call, man. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for having me. Anyways, I'm just wondering, you guys are saying, everyone's been saying, every starting lineup he's put out there has been garbage. But what I'm thinking is their whole team is really close together, where there's not starters and bench players that stand out. So that's why the bench always comes back, because they're playing against a second team. So, like, I'm just thinking if there's not a very big disparity between the starters or the bench. And another thing I wanted to ask, I might sound stupid, what's the basis of the plus-minus stat? Because of, like, the Zach Randolph that he just had a little bit
ago, that he's plus 17? No, and first of all, I love your point, Jeremy, and thank you for the call. We'll try to answer that right there, and thank you so much for listening. It's funny, there's not a big difference between starters and bench players from the Sacramento Kings. That's a fantastic point.
Mm-hmm.
The basis for the plus-minus stat, you kind of chuckled because you hate the plus-minus stat, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little misleading, but...
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
The plus minus stat, for those unaware, it's basically the points. It's basically kind of the difference in the game when you're in.
Yeah,
right?
The score of the game when you're on the floor.
So the Kings scored, in the argument. I think I said Zach Randolph was the leader in plus minus for the Kings. Yeah, he was plus 16 in the Milwaukee game. That means the Kings outscored.
They're 16 points better with him on the floor.
With him on the floor.
Yeah.
Some people hate that stat.
Yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with the minutes you're played. Sometimes when you play 45 minutes or 40 minutes a game, I don't know how many players play 45 in the league, but when you play 40 minutes a game, you're in for the ebbs and flows of the game, and mm-hmm. your plus minus doesn't look the same as someone who might have only been in for the big run. So I right. can understand why you hate it. But I can also I've always liked it. I've always kind of paid attention to it.
Yeah, I think it's less of a deal to me per game as it is over the season. Because sure. like that game, for example, they're down 16-0. The bench guys come in. All those starters are already minus 16. Now, that's a fact. They should be. But that's a hard thing for them to make up. And unless they were going to get down 30 and 40, the next group was likely going to be positive. And they were, and that's fine. They did play better. But it's yeah. just it's a funny stat.
And that's what that was. All of the starters were negative. I mean, negative 14, 14, yeah. 19, 16, 16. All those were negatives. Then you got Bogdan, Frank, Buddy, Zach, those guys coming in at 11, 14, 11, 16, all on the plus side. So,
yeah.
Yes, I understand that it's misleading, but I think it works.
Yeah.
I think there's something to it.
What I like better is the plus minus of combinations. Mm-hmm. So what's the Kings' best plus minus five on the floor? That you can figure out. There's different elements in that. And that, I think,
and there
can
are
be
coaches
telling.
that will
know
sit
those
on.
Numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those ones just aren't in the box score.
Right.
And the plus minus thing, by the way, Jeremy, is very polarizing. Mm-hmm. There aren't very many people in the middle. You
right.
love it
yeah.
or you hate it.
Yeah.
I don't really want to carry this story over, so we'll just mention it. It's actually not a big deal, especially with our resident UCLA fan here, mm-hmm. Jason Ross. LiAngelo Ball is out at UCLA. LeVar Ball is taking him out of school. He will not return to UCLA whenever this indefinite suspension ends for the shoplifting incident in China. Again, you were by Felicia?
Yeah.
By LiAngelo?
Get him out of the – I mean – not even necessarily LiAngelo as much as probably LeVar away from the program.
Well, the Lakers want LeVar away from the Lakers, and we'll explain here as we continue next on Sports 1140.